It's all my fault, 'cause pride got in the way. And I'd be lying if I said I was okay about that girl, the one I let get away. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sam Anthony. Alongside me is Samuel Elizabeth Ferentz.
Hello.
And William Robert Camilleri.
Good morning.
And coming to you live for the very last time this semester, sad, is Will, Sam, and Sam in the morning. And guys, I thought I'd lead off with my top song from 2017, which was an Ollie Murs song. Yes, I don't listen to anything cool.
Hey, we'll be back next semester.
Oh. Yeah, with even more angst and even more teenagerishness.
Because that's when Robert Morris University sports picks up.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, don't take this the wrong way. Football, men's soccer, women's soccer, volleyball. But the good Robert Morris sports will be in full swing. Men's basketball, great. Women's basketball, even better.
Both won.
Women's hockey, phenomenal. Men's hockey should be great. Hang on, stay tuned. Don't give up faith yet. I started to give a little bit of faith, but there's still hope. So,
there's always hope.
It's going to be great.
Rebellions are built on hope.
Oh, man. And Star Wars comes out next
week.
I didn't know.
I have to wait until after finals, though, because my family wants to see it together.
See, it's an annual thing I do every time the new Star Wars comes out. The last 2 years. Is I go see it with my friends, lie that I haven't seen it at school, and then I go see it with the rest of my family, and I just get to see it twice, and my parents pay for it the second time. So I'm like, whoa! I just don't tweet, don't say anything about it. It's fine, because you know what? When you live 11 hours away, nobody's telling anybody.
That's true.
It's a beautiful, flawless system. That is my birthday next week, and I turn 21, so I'm going to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Woo, go Sam. Yeah. All right. So, now that we've gotten our formal morning greetings out of the way, which, by the way, Will and his girlfriend were voted best couple in his honors fraternity. Isn't that cute?
Aww, Will. Yeah.
Will's, it's cuffing season for Will Camilleri, as said by his Instagram. You can follow him at, what is it, Larry the Camel
97.
On Instagram, you can see the updates on all of his exciting things. Yeah. And he'll probably post a picture while he's at the Eagles game on Christmas Day.
Oh, you know, Christmas Day night.
You know, follow us all. We all have, follow me on Twitter at Sam_P_Anthony for all my exciting tweets, which are really just usually retweets about either RMU stuff or baseball or football things.
Yeah, my Twitter is at BillyBobCamel. My Instagram is LarryTheCamel97, and my Snapchat is LarryTheCamel1.
My Twitter's at SamFerence83 for all those that can't spell Ference. It's just the word reference without the RE in front. SamFerence83.
You know, I've never known that before.
Wow. Wait, it's like how my last name is C.A. Miller I.
Yeah, that's how I spell it every time in my head. I go C.A. Miller I.
And then there's Anthony.
I just want my future kid to be named Retrieve. So we'll call him Ree for short, and then his name can be Reference, like reference.
I'm glad you're on the honors program because anyone else.
For those of you
nerd.
That,
for those of you that don't know, anymore.
Sam Ferentz is a dad.
Oh, I can't wait. Hey. No, my Instagram at Sam Ferentz. My Snapchat at Sam Ferentz. I'm not really that exciting when it comes.
You know what,
to
Sam may not be exciting on the outside, but man, he's still not that exciting.
Thank you.
So, transitioning in sports, I know I am the Philly guy, so I would like to. There was something interesting that I saw this morning in regards to not only the Eagles but some of the other quote unquote great teams that are in the NFL currently. And I know last show we talked about how the Eagles had only beat one or two teams over 500.
One team. But, I mean, that changes if the Chargers get another win.
So that's true.
Be two. So I count two.
So if you look at the other top tens in other top teams in the NFL, the Patriots have beaten two teams over 500. The Rams, in their 9 wins, have beaten two teams over 500. The Saints have only beaten one team over 500, but it was the same team twice.
Hmm. Wait, what team was it? Do you know?
The Panthers.
Oh.
Yeah. The Steelers have beaten three teams over 500, and that's the Vikings, the Ravens, and the Titans.
But you also have to add in the fact that they lost.
They lost to the 3-9 Bears and the 8-4 Jags.
Yeah.
The Vikings have the most with 4 wins.
Which is
over
insane,
500.
The Vikings, out of all those teams, I would have said was the least legit, you know?
And the last one that they did was Carolina, because the guy said, not doing the Titans or Jaguars because they're the worst 8-4 teams in NFL history. So the Panthers have beaten two teams over 500.
Did it mention the Patriots?
Yeah.
I think it was two.
The Patriots, yeah, had two. It was the Falcons and the Saints.
And, like, the Falcons are a very okay above 500 team this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Saints are good, but, again, you know.
It's interesting because it's actually very similar. The Patriots lost to the 6-6 Chiefs, so did the Eagles. And the Eagles lost to the 7-5 Seahawks, while the Patriots lost to the 8-4 Panthers.
It is very similar. Like, there's some parallels, but
and especially even across, like, the top teams in the NFL have only beaten, like, it, for whatever reason, there are just a lot of bad teams.
There's a lot of parity this year in terms of a lot of teams are either at or right around 500. Because you have to think in terms of really the NFC is where a lot of the winning teams are, and then besides that, you know, you have the Steelers and the Patriots, and then a lot of teams hanging around 500. I mean, Jacksonville was hanging around 500. Tennessee was hanging around 500.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then you see teams like, you know, Kansas City make their way down, while San Diego, or Los Angeles, rather, makes their way back up. It's a weird year for this, but, yeah, I mean, you're right. So the people that make that argument against the Eagles, myself included, it's a good fact check.
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to call you out or anything on it. It was just something interesting that I saw this morning.
And it's something because that's one of those things where you have to notice that you can pick, you know, you can take one stat and say it's significant, but unless you compare it against the rest of the league, you can't actually determine whether that has a statistical significance to it. Because let's say that, you know, the Eagles had one win against an above 500 team, but like the Steelers, the Patriots, the Vikings, the Saints all had 6 wins.
Yeah.
The teams above
then
500.
That's
then you're
different.
Like, okay,
yeah.
The Eagles are clearly, you know, behind, you know,
behind the eight ball on this. Yeah.
But I mean, I promise you that you can find below 500 teams that have 2 wins against above 500 teams, because that's just kind of how the NFL works.
Right. Where you're going to get one every once in a while.
And I'll tell you though, it makes for an exciting run to the postseason for the fact that, I mean, there's the locks. Like, the Philadelphia Eagles are basically locked. Like, they haven't clinched, but their odds are almost 100%.
Yeah. I think it's the same as last week, whereas if Dallas loses or the Eagles win, they clinch the division.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so if you look at it like that, I mean, the Eagles are in, the Steelers are in, the Patriots are in, and the Saints are essentially in. Those are the four teams that are essentially in right now. And then you have those wild card spots, which, like, there's really no clear, like, front runner yet. And the exciting thing to me is that you're going to come down to the end of the season, and there's probably going to be four teams, at least in the AFC, that have a chance to get in. And depending on if the NFC stays really highly competitive, that's going to be the same in the NFC. And it's going to come down to these, you know, if one team wins and the other loses, but they need this team to be that team. And it's going to be very, like, very exciting football. And then there's going to be that one, like, sleeper wild card, like that year the Steelers almost got in until San Diego missed that field goal and broke my heart.
That was a tough one.
That was a rough year, dude. But yeah, so it makes for exciting football. But yeah, it's important to note that Eagles football is legit. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz is phenomenal. To me, I'm excited. I'm sorry, as a Steelers fan, I am bothered that the Sunday night game is the Steelers and the Ravens. And I know that that's a good game and it's a competitive game, but in terms of, like, what the Ravens have brought to the table this year, I mean, I know the Ravens are better right now, and they look like they're going to be a wild card team, but the better matchup is the Rams versus the Eagles. I mean, Wentz versus Goff. Why that isn't the Sunday night primetime matchup, especially during the time of the year where they actually, like, reschedule these things, I don't know.
Oh, did they reschedule games?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have okay. up until it's up until
week 11
Monday, or well, up until the Monday of that week, yeah. I believe. So like for this upcoming week, it was this past Monday
oh, okay.
that they could decide, and they because they'll like and that they'll switch around.
Because like let's say there's like you get later in the season and it ends up like the Patriots are really bad, but you haven't scheduled for a bunch of Sunday night games. Nobody's yeah. gonna want to watch that, so they usually drop them down to like a 4:30 or 1 o'clock, and they'll bring something more exciting up to
interesting
Sunday night.
Okay.
So, because honestly, in my honest opinion, I really don't think the Ravens have a chance to beat the Steelers, even without
is this
know, Shazier.
Is this a division deciding game?
No, the Steelers.
No, I think it.
No, I mean, like, if the Steelers win, do they clinch the division?
I think so.
Yes, they do.
That might be. That
but it's
be,
also the same with the Eagles.
Yeah, but the difference is that it's against an AFC North opponent.
That's true.
So, but, you know what, to me, because that division hasn't been mm-hmm. really competitive this year, I mean, at what point have you ever really considered that? I mean, I know the Ravens still technically have a chance to clinch the division, but, like, when have you ever really considered, like, the Ravens having a chance? I mean, I haven't since week, you know.
The Ravens, no. The Ravens are like Bryant football.
They're always there, but they're never enough to get them over the edge. Yeah, I agree. Because if you don't know, Bryant, for our listeners that aren't
don't follow the NEC
aficionados, Bryant, in however long they've been in the NEC, have not won a championship in football.
And they're the only NEC team.
Yeah, they're the only NEC team, including, I believe, Monmouth and Albany.
Yeah.
Which aren't even there anymore.
Yeah.
That's why they left. I mean, Albany and Monmouth were both really good.
Yeah, they're better than the NEC. They're the only ones that haven't won one. And we are still the most with 6, by the way.
For all you RMU football haters out there.
Yeah. I think the closest is 4, and that's Duquesne.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Man, that I still can't believe how Duquesne lost the NEC championship. Well, how long was the field goal they missed to send it to overtime?
Oh,
it was like 18 yards.
It was like a chip shot. It was less than a field, less than an extra point,
that's
I think.
What I'm saying.
It was like a Jeff Reed moment. It was like, come on, man. Reed.
Nick
like,
Folk.
Yeah, that breaks your heart, man.
I feel like every team has
not
a
for
kicker
us.
Like that.
No.
I mean.
At one point in the like in their time, yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I mean. Kind of. I don't know. I don't really. I'm trying to think Eagles, but I don't remember between David Akers and there was Sturgis and there was Parkey. Cody Parkey, I think was his name.
Yeah, Cody Parkey.
Yeah.
He just had no range.
No.
He had no range.
Sturgis was good, then he got hurt. Now Jake Elliott is
amazing.
Is the GOAT because he made a 61-yard field goal.
I mean,
we have the
Wizard of Oz in Pittsburgh who's
true.
Hitting game winners like it's his job, which it is, but.
Remember when we had Josh Scobie on the team?
That was a dark, like, 3 weeks. all right, so I want to talk about Robert Morris men's basketball because it's very pertinent.
Oh, yeah, they're over 500.
Real quick?
Yeah.
Oh.
I just, quick thought.
All right, let's hear it.
NFC tonight, Saints versus Falcons. We were talking about them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Who you guys got?
I got to go with the Saints. The Falcons, to me, they feel like a team that's kind of lost after that 28-3 blown lead in the Super Bowl. They just haven't been themselves. And every time it looks like they're going to find themselves again, it just kind of looks like they kind of come back down. I think last year was their year. And Drew Brees, it's not even Drew Brees. It's Alvin Kamara and whoever the heck their other running back, Mark Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
As that
yeah, that guy.
I mean, phenomenal. I think that they're going to run all over the Falcons.
Yeah, I have to go with the Saints too. And it's funny because like everyone's been talking about like oh the Saints are the Eagles' biggest rivals, but I like the Saints.
Drew Brees is a great guy.
Yeah,
it's hard to hate Drew Brees.
Yeah, that's very true. And he you know is 39
mm-hmm.
now, and he's still throwing 400-yard games. Like
he's just a freak of nature.
It's insane.
Yeah, he's another guy. I mean, him and Brady that arguably probably could play until they're 45.
Yeah,
I mean, you know that they're going to hit that, like, 41, 42 years old.
Yeah, and they're going to decline.
I mean, it's going to be like a Peyton, because I think people thought at this age that Peyton was going to keep playing, and then he got hurt, and then he fell off the cliff, and then he played that one more year where he won a Super Bowl, but it really wasn't because of him.
No, it was because of...
the defense.
Shockingly, Brock Osweiler. Or maybe actually not.
Yeah, I'm going to refrain on that, because it's Brock Osweiler. but yeah, all right, Sam, who's your pick?
I got New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a clean sweep for New Orleans.
When you have you know, the number two and the number four running back, I'd like to think in the league you have probably top five quarterback, top 10 receiver. And then you have the number 12 defense in the league. I think, I don't know, I'm seeing a pretty good, I'm seeing a team building a resume for a Super Bowl contender, like a legitimate one in the NFC, aside from the, and I know I've said that a lot, but like now that I'm starting to look at the numbers and, you know, the Saints have a phenomenal away record, a very good, they're very good at home. I mean, Super Bowl pedigree head coach and a coaching staff and a quarterback. I mean, I'm starting to like the Saints more and more than the Steelers a little bit.
Don't say that. Take that back.
Hey, I have a pop culture question for everybody.
All right, I'm ready.
And this is brought to us by a retweet by our own Aaron Sims.
Oh, no.
What movie is going to make more money, Infinity War or The Last Jedi?
Ooh, that's tough.
Aaron retweeted it, which meant he felt it was Infinity War. I liked it because I think it's going to be The Last Jedi because it's Star Wars. And, you know, there people were complaining about Episode 7, and it still made $2 billion.
It's the highest grossing movie ever, isn't it?
And
it's
think so.
And it's the last Star Wars. Like, they're saying it's the last Star Wars.
That's with a B. And this is the one following that.
Yeah, and I know Infinity War is, you know, the building of, like, years and years, but, like, Star Wars when The Last Jedi came out was also the continuation of, like, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Of almost 50.
You have multi-generational nerds coming out.
It's
in
terrifying,
droves.
Isn't it terrifying?
Yeah, you know it's a strange day when you can see three people dressed up like Chewbacca and not be freaked out.
All right, here's the question. Should I wear my Star Wars jammies to the opening?
I think if you don't, it would be
it would be a
crime against your family,
yeah.
Sam. All
right. I will go. I will tend
to. And you have to wear those headphones because they kind of look like the Princess Leia buns a little bit.
I can work with it a little bit. You can find some hair to wrap around and it'll be fine. It'll be a good look.
Oh, man. Someone stop him.
All right. You know what? I'm going to stop myself because I want to talk about Robert Moore's basketball, which,
by the way. Oh, yeah, that's right. We did say that.
Can
yeah.
I make the comment that I believe fully that Robert Morris men's basketball is the best team in Pittsburgh? And do you want to know why I say that? Hold on.
Let's hear it.
Hold on. Because we beat Duquesne, correct? Mm-hmm. And the other night, Pitt had to go into overtime to beat Mount St. Mary's.
No.
I'm not joking.
No.
Yeah.
Where was it at? Was it at?
It was at Pitt.
Oh, no. Honey, what is
Oakland
you doing?
Zoo is not what it once was.
The Oakland Zoo is sad. And you know what's even more sad but still better than Pitt?
Mm.
The Colonial Crazies. And the Colonial Crazies did not come out in droves last night, I will say. I watched the game from my room, but also because it's the week before finals. So,
yeah.
You know, everyone's kind of
it was the first game.
Pressure. But they looked great. They came up against Ryder, who had the 12th most offensive rebounds per game in the nation.
Wow.
And they went and won. Robert Moore shot 8 3-pointers. They made 8 3-pointers in the first half.
Oh, that's 24 points.
Proceeded to score 78 in a 78-75 win over the Bronx, which I love that they're called the Bronx, not the Broncos. I just think it's interesting. But also that it's new president versus former president.
Exactly.
Like, you know, DeLomo went to Ryder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the president. He was at the game last night.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw a few pictures of him.
That's very
Our own Colonial Crazies Twitter account put a picture up with him.
You know, Army Century Media should have done that. That's my fault. It's all right. I had things to get done.
That's fine.
I realized I forgot a lot.
It's fine.
Yeah. So, on that note, where do you guys stand on Robert Moore's basketball right now? Because this is so we're juniors.
Mm-hmm.
It's our third year. Since they last made the NCAA tournament, this has been the most impressive start I've seen. Because they look strong. To me, it gives the vibe that they can win every game they play in. And that's new to me.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just look strong, Sam. They look phenomenal. I mean, this game against Ryder, they had four of their starters scored double digits. That I haven't seen that at a Robert Morris game in a long time.
And I think, well, I mean, you, sorry, I I have 2 points. There's been a Colonial, I believe, every week that's either been a
NEC prime performer, NEC
prime performer, rookie of the week, or player of the week,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or both. Because I think it did happen a few times where it was both. I think Deshaun Burke was a prime performer and player of the week at one point. I think we had player of the week and rookie of the week at one point. You know, it's looking, I'd say, more like before our time than what we've experienced. And I know last year with the upset in the quarterfinals against LAU Brooklyn, that was exciting. But that it's not the same. I haven't even been to a game, and I have a different feel from them.
And to me, the fact that that was an upset is sad because mm-hmm. that meant that we were just such a significantly low seed in the NEC and mm-hmm. performed so badly in the regular season.
We were the 7 seed.
Yeah, that nobody gave us a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And that shouldn't happen. We should be the team that's trying to be upset. You know, Robert Morris has expectations to be a 3 seed or a 2 seed or a 1, even win the regular season.
Yeah.
Typically, you know, getting a 7th projected in the preseason poll is very unlikely, very unusual, not very characteristic of Robert Morris.
Well, let me throw some numbers at you. 10,
throw them, Sam.
10. Okay, I'm going points, rebounds, assists here. 10, 3, 8, 15, 8, 5, 10, 5, 6. That's John Williams, Deshaun Burke, Matty McConnell. That's so awesome here. And then Kobe Thomas went 20 points, 5 rebounds in 24 minutes.
You got to talk about one, how athletic Kobe Thomas is, because he drives the hoop, throws down, unbelievable.
He hit that two-handed dunk last night.
Can I say the big thing that I've noticed personally is the hustle by Robert Morris? Because to me, when Deshaun Burke gets a steal, and I got to give a lot of credit to Deshaun Burke. He's been phenomenal this year after missing the first 2 games. Because when he gets a steal, he doesn't just take it and sit with it. He tries to run. He tries to rush it down. And like every once in a while, he'll turn. Like I saw him turn it over once last night. But a lot of the times, that turns into a quick transition basket mm-hmm. with no defenders. Quick points, which is why Robert Morris is getting 78 points, 74 points, 81, 78, which isn't very typical of Robert Morris. Last year, they averaged one of the worst scoring totals in the nation. They were averaging 61 points per game, which was absolutely, utterly miserable.
Well, a stat I would like to see is offensive rebounds. Do you have that, or is that just – do they just have total rebounds?
I had that two shows ago. We had 36% of our rebounds were offensive rebounds.
Okay. Yeah, I do remember you talking about that. And that's something that I think is really a pivotal point, because every time, and it was one of the most frustrating things, other than some players shooting the ball when they shouldn't, but that's another topic.
Here, you want the number?
Yeah.
All right, so in 9 games, they have had 111 offensive rebounds, and that's to their 199 defensive rebounds. So it's almost split. It's about the same as it was before, which is, again, phenomenal.
Right.
That creates second chance points.
Well, one of the most frustrating things I would see from the games is somebody would take a shot and everyone would back off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that didn't make much sense to me, because I'm like, why aren't we trying for it? And the more I think about it, the more it seems like at that point they didn't trust their defense to get back. And so I think the fact that they have had more offensive rebounds this year shows that they have more trust in their players knowing what they're doing and knowing that they can get back and defend in case they don't get the offensive rebound.
Yeah, and major props to Andy Toole and the rest of the coaching staff, because I think a lot of the success is coming from the culture change around the program. I mean, you have 3 guys who stayed back, and I think, I don't know David Cole too much, but I know Matty McConnell and Deshaun Burke, probably 2 best guys to keep back. And bringing in a whole new group, I think they're really able to turn it around. And
I think Sam, you got a lot of guys who really want it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Want to be there, and you can see that in just like the way their demeanor on the sideline, their demeanor on the court. Like, to me, there's not a lot of plays where they're not completely buying into what they're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And let me ask you guys a question. Robert Morris Colonials basketball, 5-4. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
the four teams they've lost to, Siena, San Diego, Grand Canyon, Ohio State. I think, I don't know about you guys, but I think this is an easily 7-2 team on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
I agree.
Definitely could have beaten Siena.
I think they should have beaten Siena. I think they should have beaten San Diego. And I think that they should. I honestly think they should have beaten Grand Canyon. It was a bad first half, and it was a really bad first half.
Yeah.
And they just never recovered from it.
Because, I mean, that looking ahead, you know, you're 5-4 now, potentially 7-2, 8-1 team. I mean, Ohio State, that's a first
another first level. They're on another level. Yeah.
I mean, you have Drexel at home. I'm assuming that that's going to be either a good game or a win. Is Drexel any good?
Drexel's 4-4.
4-4.
Actually, so ESPN, the matchup predictor gives Robert Morris a 68% chance to win.
Okay, so you've Drexel then at Buffalo, which I think that should be a win as well. Yeah.
Drexel did beat Ryder 89-77, something important to know. They have wins against teams like Houston, Lafayette, Ryder, and then some.
They beat
no
Houston.
Name. They beat Houston, which let's see how Houston is this year.
I think
Houston's 1-1. No, I'm sorry, they're 7-1. Wow, they're Houston's one loss this year.
Yeah.
In the American, which is pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just something to keep note is while we're favored against Drexel.
It will be a good game.
Yeah.
And that's this Sunday, right, at PPG Paints?
Yep.
Nice.
Be there.
Do we have the free shuttle again?
Yep.
Nice.
Every game at PPG Paints or AJ Palumbo, besides the ones over winter break, we'll be shuttled. That is according to Andy Miller.
Thank you, Andy Miller.
Thank you, Andy Miller. You're the best. But yeah, all right, Sam, go back to your point here. So Drexel's a win.
So 6-4.
Yep.
At Buffalo, probably not going to be a
win. We beat Buffalo last year.
ESPN has them as Buffalo's 76% favorite.
Okay. We will not beat NC State. NC State beat number 2 Arizona earlier this year.
Yeah, but we also beat Kentucky.
I'm not going to respond to that. But then you
no
go
one
to
can
Kenesha.
See my
that was all of the years
you
ago.
You want to know what their percentage to win is? NC State 92%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cuz it's another Ohio State game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is I think it is good that we have that game. Especially
I think so too.
Because I think it shows the power that we have that we can get those games.
I also think it's because it's beginning of conference play or non-conference play and the end of non-conference play. It's a point of comparison, you know.
That's
where
very true.
Were we at the beginning of the year, and then how did we come out against NC State? What do we need to work on? I think it's a great gauge, especially because then there's one more game. It's Canisius, which I think most likely will be a win, unless the way Robert Morris plays changes. Then you go into conference play, and you know you start with two games on the road, one New Year's Eve against CCSU, and you know all bets are off. Here we go, and it's just, to me, it's you're hitting the ground running, and I think that's phenomenal.
You know what I'm looking forward to?
What?
February 1st, 7 p.m., Robert Morris hosts Mount St. Mary's for the first time this year. I think that could be a potential deciding game between the number one and the number two seeds.
I think you got to look at Wagner, though, because Wagner's 6-1 through non-conference play so far, and they've looked impressive. Impressive, really. I mean, They're the best team by far, and let me pull up some numbers for you. All right, so their one loss this year is to Missouri, which nobody thought they were going to beat Missouri, but they've beaten teams like American, Fairfield, UMass Lowell, Hartford, and they have some 20-point victories. They have a 107-64 victory over Staten Island, but it was still 107-64 victory.
Yeah.
And looking at their stats, so they have the 106th best defense in the nation, the 77th best rebounding team in the nation, the 160th best scoring team in the nation. That's impressive. And especially for a school in the NEC. The other school that I think, I mean, I'm basically going off of what the NEC standings are right now, but you got to look at CCSU. And I mean, I know they were shocking football, but they started off the year, they only lost by 4 to Rutgers. They only lost by 15 to St. John's. They only lost by 1 to Hartford. So those are 3 of their 4 losses, all right? They then go and they beat Eastern Carolina University 79-68. They beat Coppin State 74-71. They beat Cleveland State 74-73. North Carolina A&T 72-59. And Brown 68-62.
Wait, they lost by more than – it wasn't 15 against St. John's.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was 25.
25. I did my math wrong. I apologize.
That's all right. It's early. It's finals.
Yeah. But to me, that Rutgers, at Rutgers, only losing by four, that sticks out to me. They're not a team that can really score, I would say. But in terms of, like, they're going to grind, which is, in the NEC, you just got to be able to grind. You got to be able to grind. And that's very characteristic. And it's very similar to Robert Morris. You know, Robert Morris had a couple of those big wins early, but most of their wins, I mean, that Youngstown State score is deceiving because that game was tight until the end. Mm-hmm. Ryder was tight until the end. Siena, you know, they were down early and they came and they grinded back. You know, you can't count this Robert Morris team out. That San Diego game, they were grinding the whole game. It was just the offense fell off at the end. I mean, Duquesne, it was back and forth until the end. A lot of, you know, hashtag grit. Hashtag
now,
grit.
But, like, we're probably going to come out of non-conference 7-6. Probably should come out 9-4, somewhere around there. Do you think we're going to be underestimated coming into conference play?
I think non-conference, to me, and despite the fact that they potentially come out with a winning record, I think the fact that Robin Morris is 7th in the conference will have some people underestimate them. You know who I don't think they'll be underestimating? And they will. I guarantee you that every team
Saint
in
Francis?
NEC is scouting Kobe Thomas. For us. Because of just the way he's come out and absolutely dominated. And to me, that's where it gets tricky, is these teams that, one, have had the chance to scout him, but two, will play him twice.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see people that have seen Kobe Thomas that will say, hey, you know, make him shoot. Keep him away from the rim because his game, I mean, I know he can shoot the three, but most of his game is at the rim. And if you keep Kobe Thomas away from the rim and inside the paint, you know, you're going to be in good shape. To me, what makes Robert Morris tricky is their ability to spread the ball out, because I would say that there's probably 8 or 9 people that can score on that team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think they have a pretty tough stretch down towards the end. February 10th, they're at LAU Brooklyn. Then we host Bryant and CCSU. Then they finish off the season at Mount St. Mary's and at St. Francis before starting what will hopefully be a home tournament.
Yeah, that's I mean, that's huge, having a tournament at home.
Mm-hmm.
That really
what?
Is.
I wonder what – would that be at Duquesne then? Or would it be – would they have to
– Can you imagine a tournament?
See, I would feel like it would have to be because I believe the A-10 is still at PPG Paints.
Even though they were there last year?
I think they might keep it there, but I can't confirm.
Okay.
Can you imagine a tournament game at the Knack?
I mean, hey, women's. You never know.
No, I'm sorry. The A-10's in Washington, D.C. this year.
Okay, so.
I mean, you could, I mean, PPG Paints probably wouldn't be against having a conference tournament.
No. Again, for the second year in a row.
Yeah.
However, you do have to plan around the Penguins and... That might be tough, considering it isn't a guarantee.
And it would be March, right in the middle of when everything's
going. That push,
on.
Yeah.
Now we've real quick, we've been talking about the offensive rebound category and how important that is to a team. Guess where Robert Morris ranks in offensive rebounds per game?
Where?
70th.
That's impressive.
Tied for 70th in the nation with 12.3.
That's impressive.
Rebounds.
That really is. I think people don't understand how much this team has struggled rebounding in the past couple seasons, and how much they've... I mean, I know that overall in rebounds per game, they're 248th, but, I mean, those offensive boards are very important.
That's getting me excited, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have these big guys come in, Ronnie Gomby, Malik Petaway. I mean, David Cole's a big guy, and then you still have, like, Deshaun Burke and Matty McConnell grabbing rebounds. This is good. These offensive rebounds... I can't stress enough to our listeners, all two of you, offensive rebounds are key. I should be a coach. Put me in, Tool. No, I'm serious. That's second chance points.
Yeah.
You have 12 offensive rebounds. Let's say you make half of them. That's 12 points right there.
Yeah.
12 points you wouldn't have.
I will note that Robert Morris did only have 2 second chance points last night. But
still, you're grabbing the ball.
And you're creating more chances.
Yeah.
You're killing clock. You're preventing the other team from having opportunities to score. Overall, offensive rebound, very beneficial.
And this is the thing you have for – and this is the whole point of non-conference games, because you have – now you go back, you go into practice, you say, okay, we have the rebounds down. Now let's work on capitalizing on those rebounds. Yeah. Something I wanted to see your opinions on. Wagner is 6-1 currently. Their remaining four non-conference games are Mercy, Rider, number 19, Seton Hall, and Dayton. I think they beat Mercy because I think they're a D2 school, maybe a D3 school. They don't have a picture on ESPN. So, and I've never heard of them. I think the Rider game could be very telling to see where we stack up, considering it is this upcoming Saturday. I think they lose to Seton Hall.
And Seton Hall number 19, that'd be impressive if they
win. Yeah, and I think they lose to Dayton.
Yeah, Dayton's a consistent, like, 8-9 seed in the tournament, so.
Yeah, I think they come out of non-conference play either 9-2 or 8-3, which still has them at number one, I believe. But I think
I think 8-3 is more likely. I don't think they're gonna win that. Is the Dayton game away?
Dayton's away. Everything's away except for Mercy. So yeah. They're at Rider, at Seton Hall, and at Dayton.
Yeah, Dayton. That's a.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I really do. And I know that I hate to draw comparisons, but I got this excited about Robert Morris football once they beat Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
And once they beat who they beat the second time?
VMI.
After they beat VMI. And it just kind of ended up breaking my heart. But
oh, we know. Trust me, we know.
I think this team has a shot. I do. Mm-hmm. And if not, women's basketball is playing out of their minds right now. They continue to dominate with like 20, 30-point victories.
Yeah, I was able to make it to the game against Monmouth. Yeah,
they shut them down, 38 points.
Yeah, that was – and it was a tight first half. It was a low-scoring first half. But, I mean, to come out – and it was pretty funny for me because, you know, we didn't really have that many people graduate or leave last year, but – Yeah, sorry, Sam.
R.I.P.
But to come up, and when I sat down for the game, I only recognized two players on the court.
Yeah.
So you have, and I looked at everything. There were three freshmen that started the game, and their backups were also freshmen. So this team is very young and still dominating. So I think it'll be very telling to see what happens come NEC play. I believe they're predicted to be the number 2 seed behind St. Francis.
Yeah.
Which is where they were last year. They ended up winning the regular season and then winning, going into...
Again.
And can I note that Robert Morris right now, their defense, they're averaging allowing only 58.7 points per game, which is good enough for 71st in the nation.
Wow.
So, and I mean, it's just going to keep getting better. I mean, you see the 42 points allowed against Delaware State last night, 38 allowed against Monmouth, 52 allowed against Youngstown State, 57, 66, 50. Besides the 100 points that Michigan State put up on them in the first game, the defense has been shut down, locked down, and Michigan State's...
It's Michigan State. Like
Michigan State's going to be top 25.
Exactly.
At the end of the year. They're already drawn votes. So I do. I think with the three... And this is going to be probably the final thought because we're just about out of time. But the final three non-conference games, one of which is against Clarion. I think Robert Morris wins that out. They end up going into non-conference play at an 8-3 mark. Conference play with an 8-3 mark, which is impressive. And only one road loss, which was at Michigan State. Very, very impressive. I think that Robert Morris is the team to watch. I think because on Nikki Samalampu, Rebecca Navarro, and Janae Brown were gone, that people thought it wasn't going to be as good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we have three people to fill their spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they are good.
One thing I do want to ask you, I think it's way too early considering it's not even spring semester yet. If we go through, win the regular season again, not even win the regular season. If we win the NEC, are we a 15 seed this year?
In women's basketball?
Yes.
If they go undefeated in NEC, yes. If they go undefeated in NEC or they lose only one or two. If they like completely dominate the NEC where they go above and beyond, 15 seed. Without a doubt in my mind, I think last year they could have been a 15
seed. They should have been a 15 seed last year.
And I think looking at the way that they can go through and probably tear up some of these teams because They're better. They're significantly better, and you're going to see it come conference play time. And on that note, that's going to be it for we're done for the semester, guys. We go into finals week, and well, I'm glad, you know, we said for about a year and a half we were going to get a radio show.
Yes.
And we finally did it. Brought in Sam Ference as our third.
Statistics guru.
Well, I'll call him a guru.
That's true.
I can do that. We're going into finals week.
Yeah.
Mr. Axi over there. He's definitely going to be the
Sam Ference actuary.
You better come in every week next semester with probabilities on if they're going to make the playoffs.
I mean,
I forgot to talk about this. This was so cool.
All right, you know what? I'm going to give you a chance. Talk about it real quick.
Oh, my Lanta. AC Milan against Benevento. Serie A.
Give us some more soccer in there.
No. Serie A. Okay. Benevento, through like 20 games, no points in the league. They didn't. They lost all. They have like a negative 28 goal differential.
Mm-hmm.
Final minute. You see the goalies come up all the time. This goalie came up on a corner kick to tie the game, scores the game-tying goal for Benevento's first point of the season against AC Milan, a European powerhouse. Blew my mind. I wish we had a website because I would share that video. I shared it on Twitter. Check it out, SamFerence83. Good night, folks. Have a great Christmas.
All right. And on that note, this is Sam Anthony signing up for the last time, and the last time I get to look into the sky and go, Mrs. Ference, I love
Sam,
you.
Don't say last time because we're going to be here next semester.
I know.
Also, look into the sky? She's not dead.
It's because I'm thinking about her.
Oh.
All right. This is Sam Ference, actuary, signing off. Go Colonials. Love you, Mom. Everyone, have a great finals week, and have a Merry Christmas.
And this is Will Camilleri. Let's make it through. Hey, can we get a Twitter account for this show for next semester?
Oh, yeah,
semester?
We can get a Twitter account, Facebook.
We're going social media.
We'll
launching
the crap out of social.
Launching the new year of Will, Sam, and Sam in the morning.
We'll post the podcast every time.
Oh, yeah.
You guys aren't ready. I'm standing up right now. This is how pumped I am. I just want you to
It's
going to
be
that.
A great spring. Let's just, we have so much. We have four dominant sports, all of the sports, all of the RMU.
And we'll be able to talk about Super Bowl playoff times coming around.
Spring's going to be great.
We are ready.
See you in a few weeks.
All right, so, you know, don't get too sad because we're going to be back.
We'll be back better than ever.